Hallelujah. Come on and give the living God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. The living one some praise. Hallelujah. The life giver some praise tonight. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We started Wednesday night talking about the truth. And that's where we're going to continue on. The truth. We're supposed to present Jesus as he is. And one of the aspects of Christ is the truth. I was thinking about this afternoon, and it's like when you look at the light. There are many aspects to the light. What I mean by that is, if you hold a prism up to the light and let the light come through it, it breaks it apart into its component parts. And we're just talking about one of the aspects of the nature and the character of God. Truth. When you go to a courtroom and you take the oath, they ask you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And the problem is that just like I was talking about that spectrum where the light comes through it, the light is supposed to come through us. But you have to ask yourself, what are people seeing? You have to ask yourself. See, I can't control you as far as what you're supposed to project. The only thing I'm supposed to do is control myself so that the light of God could come forth. Now, the 18th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What God is saying here, we're talking about the truth. Pastor Hart gets up here and say all the time, all liars are going to hell. It's the truth. If that's what you practice, that's the result that you're going to get. The wrath of God is revealed. In other words, it's made known or made manifest from heaven against all ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Ungodliness is the absence of fear. See, what God taught them in the Old Testament when God got them out in the desert was the fear of God. In other words, reverence for the things of God. It's not that I'm afraid of God. It's that I fear to do wrong before God. I love him that much that I have regard for his ways, his commandments, his statutes, his laws. When I become ungodly, the absence of doing wrong before God goes away. And that's why you can see a lot of Christians doing. Since we're talking about truth, what is the opposite of the truth? They can lie. They can lie. And unrighteousness, wrongdoing of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, what they're saying here is God's wrath is poured out against anyone who contains the truth, who shields it from being seen, who imprisons the truth. See, he has come to establish himself in our lives so that we might show someone else, just like Pastor was talking about this morning, the nature and the character of God, that there is a better way. But if I, as a Christian, conceal it, imprison it, then somebody's not going to get saved. Somebody's not going to get what they need from God. Why? Because as the prism, I am distorting the view. We are living epistles. When we read somebody that's in a church, we're supposed to see the nature and the character of God, the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering. What did he say? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things. If I think on these things, then I will not imprison who Christ is. A lot of people don't know Christ, who he is, because we as Christians have our own viewpoint and we do what we want to do. See, this is the free-for-all time. We come to church and we do whatever we want to do. And we do it in the name of the Lord. I run over you in the name of the Lord. I talk about you in the name of the Lord. I slander you in the name of the Lord. And I have my hands lifted up and I'm speaking in tongues, running around here, thinking everybody, letting everybody think that I'm so anointed. But God says the wrath is going to come against all who practice this. So that there is no escape. So what I should do is I need to get myself together here so that the wrath doesn't fall upon me, because judgment is going to begin here at this house. God's word is true. See, we're talking about the truth. God's word is true in that he cannot lie, so that if he says his wrath is going to come upon me, then I can expect it. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, fire used to fall from heaven and the ground used to open up and all of those things. God showing himself. He doesn't have to do that anymore. See, they didn't have grace back then. They had to find it. You find people like David, and there's many others that committed sin before God. They had to find grace, because the wrath of God, when David messed up with Bathsheba, the wrath fell on the child, because the child represented sin. God's wrath will fall upon anything that represents sin. Why? Because he is a God of truth. It stinks to God. It stinks to him. It's just like if you go in your house and you haven't taken the garbage out and you know what it smells like in there. It's like hot garbage. That's what it smells like to God. And if it's distasteful to you, God, who is pure, you know what it does to him. And especially, see, now understand something. God is a merciful God. When God looks at you, he looks at the intent. He's not an ogre. In other words, you make a mistake and God's all over you. No, it's not like that. It's those that know what they're doing and decide to go another way. That's where the wrath comes from. 19th verse, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. In other words, we're talking about Adam and Eve. Here, he showed what was manifest in them. In other words, God showed that life was manifested in him, because he manifested in them. He showed the animals that the animals were able to reproduce. He showed that the planet was full of life, because God put all of the seeds into the ground and at the proper time they came forth. Therefore, we know that God is the God of life, because life came forth. We as born again believers, we know that God is truth, the truth, because we're born again. Why? The word of God, you know, however you got saved, the word of God came unto you and you knew that Jesus was your savior. There was a point where God entered your life for the first time. Therefore, we know that that is the truth. As we went on, we found out that God is love. God is joy, because he demonstrated these things in our lives. Now, understanding what God is, that he's truth, that he's life, that he's love, that he's salvation, that he's grace, and now change my mind and imprison it within my own unrighteousness, now the wrath's going to fall. See, Adam and Eve, they understood exactly what they were doing. It was not a mistake. It was not a mistake. Folks think it was a mistake. It was not a mistake. It was on purpose. The man Adam, more crafty or more sneaky than anything that God had created. Sneaky. You know, when I was a kid, I manifested some of those traits. Sneaky. Doing things you weren't supposed to do. Run around the house. Mom tell you not to do something. You did it anyway. What'd you do? You blamed it on your brother and your sister. And back in the old days, they got the beat down. And you're off in the corner laughing somewhere. That's sneaky. Not taking responsibility for your own actions. You pass it off on them. That's what the man Adam did. He allowed the woman to go up to the tree and talk to the serpent. It wasn't a snake. It was an angel. Talking about his character. Serpent. Low down. Sneaky. So that she would take of the fruit. See, his intent was to find out whether the word of God was true or not, whether they were going to die. He said, don't touch the fruit lest you die. So he's going to see. He allows the woman to go up there. She becomes the guinea pig. When she doesn't die, then he takes and eats of it. But see, we think that it's the woman's fault. No, it was the man's. Why? The man was the head of the creation. God gave him the authority. She was the helpmeet. Now, she was an equal partner, but after he got through speaking over her, she couldn't fulfill her part in the plan. And what do? We've been blaming the devil for all this, all these years. Let me tell you something I found out. I know a few of us are maturing here. How many remember the Flip Wilson show? How many remember Geraldine? And when Geraldine got caught up in her mess, what did she always say? The devil made me do it. Well, guess what happened? A lot of saints took that to be real. And what did they start saying? The devil made me do it. Now, that's not the truth. The truth is God saying the wrath is going to fall upon all who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is a Christian doing allowing the devil to make him do anything? The devil can't make you do anything. That's a fable. We run around saying the devil's the thief, the killer, and the destroyer. No, he is not. The man Adam is. And to show you how sneaky he is, it's just until now that it's been revealed. How long has the word of God been around? That's how sneaky he is. Nobody's seen him do it. And he don't talk. He knows how to keep his mouth shut when he's doing it. Just like I did. When I snuck around and got my brother and sister in trouble, I didn't tell nobody about it. I let them get it. I was getting what I wanted. So I'm going to let them get what they want. That's what the man Adam did. The man Adam wanted out from under the authority of God, so that's what he did. And he got out. What did God do? He said, you got to get out of here. At least you taste of the tree of life and live forever in this state. Then Jesus couldn't have did nothing. For that which may be known of God is manifested in them. God showed him how he created things. God showed Moses about the creation. That's how he wrote the first five books of the Bible. God showed Job about the secret that Adam had. See, it's in other words, it's revealed knowledge. God will reveal himself to anybody who puts themselves in the way of the truth. But you've got to want to know the truth for your own self. You got to know the truth for your own self. I can stand up here and tell you all kinds of stuff. Until you get in this word and find out for yourself, it's not anything but a bunch of words. For the invisible things from him, the creation, are clearly seen. In other words, like he showed David the zodiac. Folks still getting on the phone trying to call Madam Tar or whoever to get a reading about the zodiac. The zodiac belongs to God. That's what the first word. When the man fell, God wrote that up in the skies. When they look up, they could see that Jesus was on his way to redeem mankind. That's what the zodiac represents. What does man do? They take it and they twist the word of God and use it for their own purposes. Somebody want to get around doing what's right to get a blessing. That's not operating in the truth. In other words, I cannot steal, like I did from them, I can't steal from you all and expect that God is going to bless me. See, folks think that. They go around and they practice this. That's why he said, those that do these things cannot inherit. Those that practice these things. If you practice lying, what are you going to get? You're going to show people that you are a liar. And folks are fooled. You know, a lot of times we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to start fights in the church and tumults and all of this brawling. So a lot of times you just let it go. But see, a lot of folks think that they're getting over. You're not getting over. God just wants you to mind your own business and pray for them. It's not for you to confront them. Let me tell you something. He said, jump down to the 25th verse. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. When you imprison or hold fast the truth or confine it, you change the truth. You transform it from what it is into what you want. See, the problem is, like, you know, back in the day, God said, you shall have no graven image in front of me. You shall serve no other gods. We don't do that anymore. You know, back in the day, this flower pot was their god. This microphone stand would be their god. They'd bring offerings to it. We're too sophisticated for that. What we do is we transfer the worship from God to other men or other women. Okay? And in a lot of cases, whether we admit it or not, the one we serve the most is our own self. That's the God God is talking about. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature themselves more than the creator. When I take the truth and I ball it up and I wrap it up in my wrongdoing, I have just changed the truth, and instead of worshiping God, now I'm worshiping my own self. People today are worshiping their emotions. Whatever they feel, that's what they do. If they feel like running over you, that's what they do. If they feel like cussing you out, that's what they do. If they feel like destroying your character, that's what they do. And they feel that because they are filled with the Holy Ghost, that gives them an excuse or that gives them license. No, it does not. You still have to obey the word of God. I say, God just gave me this. We are in a kingdom. We have a king. The king has rules. The king's name is Jesus. And Jesus said, if you're going to be with them, you've got to follow these rules. He is the truth. When they look at us, they're supposed to see that one of the aspects of his nature and character is the truth. That's what we're supposed to see. He is the door to the truth. In other words, the only way for me to get to the truth is not in me. It's in him. I have to understand that and study this word so that what's in me can come out, so that I can be a witness. That's what this thing is about. It's about being a witness to mankind. Wherever you go, you're supposed to be a witness. But if you're clouded up where men can't see what and who you are, then you just changed the glory of God. You just changed the truth of God into a lie, and they don't know what the truth is. That individual might be the only one that they ever see as far as being a Christian. And now you've contained the truth, so that they can't see it properly. What's going to happen when you stand before God? You got to ask yourself that. What is going to happen when I stand before God? Because every man, every woman is going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds done in this body. And I'm not talking about this, because we was already on death row before we got saved. I'm talking about after you get saved. We off of death row. God has given us his life and his truth. Now we're supposed to operate and walk in it. Come on and give God some praise. Go to Romans 1 and 14. I'm almost done. I'm not going to be here long tonight. Romans 1 and 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus paid his debt. Now it's our turn. We owe the Greek, the barbarian, the wise and the unwise, the truth. That's what we owe. Why? Because Jesus paid the ransom so that we can be free. This is Matthew Calvin's praying. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, well, our duty is to help others to get free. And the only way that they can do that is they see the truth of God in your life. The unadulterated truth. The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So that men might be able to see that there is a God. Because everybody's talking. Everybody's on TV. I mean, you got so many things on almost every channel, some religious program. So they know about it. But they know of it. Just put it that way. They know of it. They don't know about it until they come in contact with somebody who says they are part of this thing. See, the big thing is we have to get ourselves under control. We have to control our emotions. Pastor was talking about that this morning. We have to cast down our imaginations, cast down our reasoning, cast down the way we feel, cast down because folks is talking about it, cast down that folks don't like us so that we can allow the truth of God to manifest itself in our life so that somebody else can get saved. We're all witnesses. We're all to go out and all compelled to come in by the word of God, which is in our life. I'm going to say this again. You don't have to beat folk up with the word. You show them by love. Let's get this testimony. When I first got here, I was in bad shape. And I used to sit over there where Brother Algie is when I first got here. The Lord said, why don't you sit over here in this back, you know, in the back corner. So I sat over there in the back. And this lady, she's gone to be with the Lord, Sister Dorothy Lilly. She kept looking at me every Sunday. Just looking at me. Every time I come in, I'm knowing this lady looking at me. Now I start getting ticked off. Like, why is she looking at me? All of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, what are you going to do about it? So I calmed myself down. Well, you know, a few months later, I began to get myself together and come into more of the services and used to have the fellowship hall down there. And I began to get acquainted with the ladies down there. But I got in trouble again, and I got out of church. And when I came back, you know, she was glad to see me and everything, and you know, and then as the people began to leave out, and she said something to me, and see, I hadn't realized I had said this to her. She said, Brother Tim, you know, I'm kind of disappointed. I said, why are you disappointed? I'm upset. Why are you upset? He said, because somebody promised me that they was going to do something, and they didn't do it. I said, well, and I made the mistake of asking, well, who said that? He said, you did. What that did was that encouraged me. She showed me some love. Because, baby, I was in bad shape. I was on my way out. I was almost destroyed. Almost lost my life. And I knew what would have happened. I'd have lifted up my eyes in hell. Born again believer, speaking in tongues, third generation preacher, on my way out. But somebody showed me the truth. That woman showed me the truth of God's love. And because of that, in spite of the condition I was in, I began to make my way here anyway. And it wasn't her alone, it was some others too that showed the love of God to me. And that caused me to become stable. It's not a thing of perfection like he was saying. It's a thing of growth. And like I say, as young adults, you know, you have to grow out of things and into a manhood or womanhood. It's the same thing with Christianity. The truth is this is a growth process and that we're not perfect, but you put those things behind. God is showing us through his word the truth, what those things are in your life that you have to overcome. Not you. It's not my job to, you got to overcome this. No, I have to overcome this. I have to do it. I have to represent the nature and the character of God. I have to show the truth to people because you don't know who's looking at you. I'm glad she was looking at me because I wouldn't be here if she wasn't. She showed me the truth of God, which is God's love, first and foremost. That God is a God of love and that he don't care what shape you're in. Is that the fact that you come to him. A lot of Christians in the church, we come with a condemnation spirit or a condemnation attitude. I'm not going to say spirit. I'm going to say attitude because that makes it a little bit more personal. Because we think of spirit. Oh, no spirit on me. No, but you can have an attitude of condemnation that you're better than somebody else. When Jesus lowered himself and he dealt with the drug addict, he dealt with the alcoholic, he dealt with those who were in sin. Why? Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. That is our job as witnesses. We are to seek out and to save that which is lost by representing what the truth is, allowing the truth, the nature and the character of God to manifest itself through our life so that we are debtor to the Greek, debtor to the barbarian, debtor to the wise, debtor to the unwise. So that as much as in us is, that's the next question. What's in you? What's in you? Only you can answer that question. What's in you? God has given you the supernatural ability to look into your own life. We want to get up and we want to prophesy. We want to see what's in somebody else's life. You got to first see what's in your own life. God's not going to let you see what's in somebody else's life until you take over what's in yours. What did he say? He said, first take the beam out of your eye and then you can see more clearly. Then you can help your brother, your sister take the dust mote out. What do you mean? That bench, he said, take that bench out of your eye. Then you can see more clearly for this dust mote that you got to strain to catch the light where it can reflect that you see floating in the air out of your brothers. That way the truth can manifest itself. Let me tell you something. We owe a debt. We owe Jesus. That's the attitude. That's the attitude I have. I owe the Lord. I owe the Lord my life. Why? Because he loved me and he was gracious enough for me to lay his life down when he didn't have to. Wasn't nothing great about me. Wasn't nothing fantastic or special about me. He did it for me and then he did it for everybody so that we're all on the same level. We're all in the body of Christ. Everybody in here is a member of the body of Christ. There's no highs and no lows in the body of Christ. There's only one head and his name is Jesus. So we're debtor to the Greek, the barbarian, the wise and unwise. So as much as in us is, get something in you. Get the truth in you so that the proper time, the truth can come out. When you're holding the truth, you cannot witness. Folks think they can. You can't witness. It says, how can bitter water and sweet come out of the same vessel? What you practice is what's going to come out. That's why it says think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you think on these things, that is the mind of God. And the mind of God will operate through you and reveal things to you to help people, to help yourself, to bless you. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand. We're done.